ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ता दुर्गे प्रचोदयात् ओम शांति 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 वी हैव एनालाइज्ड थ्री फोल्ड रियालिटीज पारमार्थिकम सत्यम व्यावहारिकम सत्यम एंड प्रातिभासिकम सत्यम सो दैट विच हैज Pratibhasika Satta, that which enjoys only subjective reality, is Mithya. So that which enjoys Vyavaharika Satta, that which enjoys objective reality or empirical reality, is also Mithya. The paramarthika satyam alone is absolute reality. This pratibhasika satta and vyavaharika satta, so that which enjoys pratibhasika satta, that which is subjectively real, and that which is objectively real, they both have their existence only in paramarthikam satyam. So pratibhasika satta is negatable even when the experience, even when the knower is, whereas vyavaharika satta is also gets negated along with the knower. Whereas paramarthika satyam is that which cannot be negated at all, any time. And we use this, our own sense organs, as which serve as means of knowledge of this objectively real universe. So we use our sense organs as means of knowledge to know this objectively, empirically real universe. But the same instruments of knowledge, sense organs, then we can say we have used sixfold pramanams as pratyaksha pramanam, anumana pramanam, Upamana Pramanam, Arthapatti Pramanam, Shabda Pramanam. We use the sixfold means of knowledge to have the knowledge of this objective universe which has only Vyavaharika Satta, which enjoys only objective reality. When we use these sixfold pramanams, when you say pratyaksha pramanam, it means you making use of your sense organs. So making use of our sense organs properly, thereby when you have direct knowledge of the objects, so pratyaksha pramanam and other means of knowledge, such as inference, comparison, presumption, shabda, also words, etc. So properly using these pramanams will help us live in empirical reality. So properly using our pramanams these sixfold pramanams help us enjoy this objective universe. The same pramanams, when improperly used, will retain us in a world which is only subjectively real. So what is, even to have, to even enjoy what is subjectively real, to experience what is subjectively real, and thereby, as a result of going through pains and pleasures, by experiencing what is subjectively real, is purely because of our improper use of our own the sixfold pramanams. Not always sixfold, I don't need to say. Generally, I'm saying there's no seventh pramanam. Okay? There are only sixfold pramanams. Pratyaksha pramanam means using your own sense organs. We perceive the world, we have the knowledge of the world. So based on this pratyaksham alone, based on our perception, pratyaksha means perception. So based on this means of knowledge of perception, through sense organs, we can also have knowledge born of comparison. We can also have knowledge born of assumption. We can also have knowledge born of inference. We can also have knowledge born of the words. Knowledge understood through the description of the words. So there are only sixfold pramanams. The sixfold pramanams, the sixfold means of knowledge, if they just used correctly, properly, definitely we can enjoy this world, which is relatively, objectively, empirically real. But the same means of knowledge, when not used properly, instead of enjoying this objectively, empirically real world, which is said to be Ishvara Srishtam, created by the Lord, we will be living in the world created by us, Jiva Srishtam, which is only subjectively real. The world projected by your own understanding, so there you are suffering. But actually, where is our freedom? Our freedom is only in understanding what is absolutely real. Not only we need to understand what is absolutely real, we understand what is absolutely real as our own real nature, as one's own real nature. I itself am the absolute reality. I am absolute reality. This is the fact to be understood. So for us, we have to, first of all, to be prepared for the knowledge of the absolute reality, what is Paramarthikam Satyam. We have to shift our life from remaining in Patibhasika Satyam to Vyavaharika Satyam. We should move on from Pratibhasikam to Vyavaharikam. Thereby, we can shift from Vyavahara to Paramarthikam. When we are not even living properly in what is vyavahara, even in our day-to-day vyavahara, in day-to-day transactions, we are not there. No, we live in our own cocoon, we found by us, where is the question of understanding what is absolutely real. Anyway, that is why Shastram teaches us how to, always dharmaha. Dharma is emphasized so much, so that until the understanding takes place, until the knowledge takes place, the only way of managing all emotions which really prevent us from enjoying this empirically real world is what? Actually, managing emotions is only by living a life of dharma. That's why karma yoga lifestyle is emphasized by the Shastram, to avoid remaining in what is subjectively real. Whether you understand or not, whether you are able to understand or not, for us to be able to shift from this way of life will always help us. Way of life will help us gradually shift from Pratibhasikam to Vyavahara. Even that life which is here, which is relatively real itself, will be properly lived life. Thereby, we will become qualified for knowledge of the Paramarthikam Satyam. And for which we need a pramanam. So when our own already existing sixfold pramanams improperly used becomes means of knowledge of what is subjectively real. So pratibhasika satya pramanam is what? Improper use of pramanams. And the sixfold pramanams, proper use of pramanams become the means of knowledge of what is empirically real. Now, what is the pramanam for paramarthika satyam? Understand, no? What is the pramanam for paramarthikam satyam? Is it clear? We don't need to go in search of pramanam. We use all the pramanams what you already have. When you do not make use of them properly, or when you improperly use them, and we can have our own experience. That is what is Pratibhasika Satya Pramanam. That's why Dushta Pramana Janyam Pratibhasikam Satyam. How is it possible? In my understanding, this is what is real. This is what is happening. I conclude. I 100% am convinced of what I am. What is real for me. Which is not at all true. Which is not at all real. I make my own conclusion. I think my own way. Because based on my own wrong perception, my own preconceived notions, and there comes what? I suffer and I struggle. I'm so miserable. When I am miserable, I suffer, I am disturbed, and I react. My reactions are completely uncontrollable. In my reactions, I do not even think what I am doing. Thoughtlessly doing is inaction, isn't it? And whatever I do, whatever I write, whatever I email, whatever I text, do not know how much I contribute for hurting, disturbing other people. Because I am hurt, I want to hurt. I am disturbed, so I disturb others. This is how, all forms of problems. So not only we are unhappy, we also make everybody else around us unhappy. we make others. Now we are miserable, we generously make others also miserable. This is the Pratibhasika Satya Prayojanam. Pasatya Jnana Prayojanam. Okay? But when we use your pramanam thoughtfully, so pratyakshadi sixfold pramanams, when we use properly, then naturally we at least what is empirically real is empirically real. Then you do not internalize. You can be objective towards everything, still you are relatively free. But still you are not absolutely free. But absolute freedom, the fullness, because the objectively real universe also is time bound. Therefore everything is time bound, spatially limited, objective is limited. Therefore this also, the pleasure you enjoy also cannot be timeless, everlasting, all-pervasive. It cannot be always, it cannot be everywhere, it cannot be with everything. Still there is a limitation. But what we are aspiring for is the everlasting, timeless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. Puja Swami used to say, I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody, with everything, in any situation, every situation, irrespective of what the situation is, who the people I am with, where I am, when I am, there must be happiness. And such happiness is, happiness need not be accomplished, that is already your own swarupam. That is the swarupam of everything, that is the nature of the very reality. Therefore, that is something to be accomplished, attained in terms of jnanam. That is the, actually, siddhasya sadhyam. We say, accomplishing the already accomplished is what? Attainment of moksha. Attainment of moksha is accomplishment of the already accomplished. Is it clear? So, accomplishment of already accomplished means, if it is already accomplished, then why it is not there? What distances you from happiness? If happiness is already your own swarupam, happiness is fullness. It is already your essential nature. Already it is there. What distances you from happiness? It is the ignorance. Between you and happiness, between you and reality, between reality and happiness, there is no distance. You are the very reality, and reality is of the nature of happiness, fullness. There is no distance. But what distances you from reality implied by the term Brahma? What is the distance between you and Brahma, Parambrahma? There is no distance. Distance is caused by ignorance. Therefore, and the happiness, which is the very nature of reality, which is nature of yourself, there is no distance. Then what distances you from happiness is ignorance. Therefore, between you and happiness, between you and fullness, between you and reality, the distance is only caused by ignorance. The distance has been removed. Distance caused by ignorance, removal of the distance caused by ignorance, with the attainment of knowledge, is what? Accomplishment of the already accomplished. Okay? Accomplishing the already accomplished moksha, accomplishing the already accomplished Brahman in terms of jnanam by removing the distance caused by ignorance. For that also, you need a pramanam. Understand? And what is that pramanam? That pramanam is Upanishad. It is very clear, Upanishad is the pramanam. Pramajanakam. The means of knowledge of the Brahman, which is my own self, which is my own real nature. So the very word Upanishad, we say Upanishad, but whenever we use this word separately without followed by any other word, no other word follows the Upanishad, we should say Upanishad. Upanishadaha in plural. Upanishad singular. Ta, first ta comes. It's all very basic lesson. I should not tell you. Because after being, you've been student of Vedanta for so long, again we should not be ignorant of the base, small things. So the word Upanishad itself has two meanings. One meaning is the secondary meaning, that is, Upanishad means the just the textbook. If I tell you, may you all bring Brihadaranyaka Upanishad to the class, and I mean Upanishad is what? Upanishad means only the textbook. But the same word Upanishad, actually the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is Brahma Vidya. Upanishad means knowledge of the absolute reality, knowledge of the Paramarthika Satyam. So, Paramarthika Satya Jnana Pramanam. Paramarthika Satya Jnanam. Knowledge of the absolute reality. That is the meaning of the word Upanishad. Which means, what is the knowledge of the absolute reality? Knowledge of the absolute reality, which rises in the form of a thought, by studying the Upanishad, that knowledge which obtains in the form of a thought alone, is meant by the word Upanishad. So Upanishad means what? Brahma Vidya means the knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. Alone is meant by the word Upanishad. Just the knowledge. Not the text, not the words, not anything else. So, Brahma Vidya. So, if we take this word itself, Upanishad, and we see these three parts of the word, Upa, Ni, Shat. That if we take this last part, Shat, alone, actually it has come from the root Sadilru. The Shat actually stands for the benefit of the attainment of knowledge. Shad actually stands for the attainment of the benefit of knowledge. What is the benefit of knowledge attained? We can say moksha. So, attainment of the benefit of knowledge is mokshaha. The mokshaha is implied by the word shat. So, what does it do? What does Brahma Vidya do? The knowledge of Brahman removes ignorance. So, ajnana nivrittihi. The sad actually stands for the removal of ignorance. And what is attained then? Moksha praptihi. Attainment of moksha. So, ajnana nivrittihi, moksha praptihi. What is removed, what is attained? Something goes, something comes. Something is removed, something is attained. So, ajnana nivrittihi, moksha praptihi. So, the sad stands for this, is the benefit of the knowledge. We can say that three meanings can be given for this part, this one expression, sad. Avasadayati. You take this as a noun, avasadanam. Avasadhanam means totally, completely resolves, complete, totally annihilates, totally destroys. Avasadhanam, total elimination, total removal, complete resolution is the meaning of the word avasadhanam. So, Brahma Vidya Phalam. So, Shad, Brahma Vidya Phalam Suchayati. It shows us the benefit of the knowledge of Brahman. So, what it removes is Avasadayati, totally removes, eliminates. Destroys means it removes ignorance, it removes thereby samsara caused by ignorance, thereby it helps us claim the moksha which is already there. Here the doubt may come, do we really attain Brahma Jnanam? Do you really attain Brahma? So before going to that, let me make it very clear. So avasadhanam itself, the shad itself gives us three meanings. Avasadayati, avasadhanam, first meaning. Second meaning is what? Gatihi. The one dhatu is used in three senses. Sadulru dhatu is used in what? Avasadayati. Then gamayati. Gati. Gatihi. Avasadhanam. Gatihi. Then visaranam. Visarayati. Three words are given. So the verb, the root, the Shad stands for avasadhanam, gatihi, visaranam. So avasadhanam means totally destroying, totally removing, resolving. Gatihi means gamayati, means it enables us reach, attain. It's a causative verb, gamayati. So what it destroys, we said it destroys ignorance, it resolves ignorance totally, and ignorance caused samsara. In fact, let me remember here very carefully, knowledge does not do anything other than resolving ignorance. Knowledge cannot do anything other than ignorance. What does the light do? Light can just illumine by its very nature. It can only illumine objects. How does it illumine? By removing darkness. Light does not do anything other than removal of darkness. Isn't it? Light only removes darkness. By way of removing darkness, it helps every object shine. Light does not make every object shine also. Just by removing darkness, it enables the objects to shine in the presence of the light. Similarly, knowledge also does not do anything other than removal of ignorance. Knowledge just removes ignorance. But when the ignorance is removed, the samsara for which the cause is ignorance, samsara also gets destroyed. So knowledge does not remove samsara. Knowledge removes only ignorance. By removing ignorance, ignorance caused samsara also resolves. So indirectly, knowledge helps us resolve samsara, which means that's the meaning of the word. Avasadayati. One word meaning. So how does Brahma Vidya remove ignorance, and then how does it help us resolve samsara? Gamayati. So gamayati means what? It helps us reach. Helps us attain. Attain Brahma. How does it make us attain Brahma? You can never attain Brahma. Never attain moksha. So it helps us attain Brahma, thereby attain moksha. Brahma gamayati, moksham prapayati. Again, as I already said, we can never attain Brahma, we can never attain moksha, because you are already Brahma, you are already free. Therefore, what you already have cannot be attained, cannot be reached. But here, that's why I already mentioned, it's accomplishing the already accomplished, which means the distance between you and reality happens caused by ignorance. Distance between you and moksha is also caused by ignorance. Therefore, knowledge only removes the distance between you and Brahma, between you and moksha caused by ignorance. Thereby, it helps you reach, attain. Is it clear now? That is, we say, gamayati. That's second meaning. How the very word shat gives you another meaning also. It also means gamayati. So, agnanam samsarancha avasadayati. Brahma vidya. Jnanam brahma gamayati moksham prapayati. It helps you accomplish the already accomplished. Because ignorance, even though you are already Brahma, you are already free, you are distanced from your own nature, you are distanced from your from yourself, just because ignorance, as though distanced, not really distanced. Therefore, Brahma Vidya removes the distance between you and Brahma, you and reality, you and moksha. Thereby, it helps you claim what you are already. It serves as a means of accomplishing the already accomplished. Gamayati. And the third is Visarati. So, Visarati விசாரயதி விசாரயதி விசரணம் விசரணம் மீன்ஸ் வீக்கனிங் லூசனிங் ஸ்டெச்சிங் அவுட் இஸ் த மீனிங் ரிலீசிங் ரிலீசிங் சோ பிரம்ம வித்யா ரிலீசஸ் ஓகே ரிலீசஸ் விசாரயதி இட் ரிலீஸ் சிதிலீகரோதி சிதிலயதி இட் ரிலீசஸ் இட் ரிலீசஸ் ஃப்ரம் வாட் யூ டைட்லி ஹெல்ட் பை கர்மா பாண்டேஜ் ஆஃப் கர்மா பிராரப்த கர்ம சஞ்சிதம் கர்ம ஆகாமி கர்ம இஸ் டைட்லி ஹோல்டிங் ஆன் டு யூ அண்ட் நாலேஜ் ரிலீசஸ் யூ ஃப்ரம் the bondage of karma. Is it clear now? You're as though tightly held, and knowledge as though releases you. Why? You're never bound, you're ever free. But you're notionally you're bound, isn't it? Knowledge, by helping you resolve the wrong notions you have about yourself. It releases you as though from the as though bondage. There's no real bondage, there's no real freedom. Is it clear? That's what is the meaning of the word visaranam. The shad itself gives three meanings. Actually, the shad stands for the attainment of the benefit of knowledge. Once you have the jnanam, knowledge destroys ignorance. Thereby, it destroys ignorance caused samsara. Thereby, it helps you claim the moksha which you already have. Already your nature. This is the benefit of the knowledge implied by this expression Shad of the Upanishad. The two things happen. Removal of ignorance, removal of samsara, then attainment of moksha. So, dukkha nivrittihi, samsara nivrittihi, ajnana nivrittihi, then sukha praptihi. So, there again, samsaraha itself, going through suffering, experiencing pairs of opposites, remaining in the body is samsara. So physical body itself is not bondage. Body itself is not bondage. Being endowed with the body, but he remaining in body, going through pairs of opposites, experiencing pairs of opposites is samsara. Suffering is samsaraha. So dukkha anubhavaha, shoka anubhavaha is samsaraha. And shokaha, dukkham, remaining in the body, being miserable, is because of mohaha. And mohaha is because of ajnanam. And that ajnana nivrittihi happens when the jnanam rises. Therefore, shad, part of the word Upanishad, indicates the benefit, attainment of the benefit of knowledge. Is it clear? Now, move on to next Next, the knee. We take this knee. The knee stands for nischayarthakaha. Nischayarthakaha means it indicates some definiteness. So in the context of the attainment of knowledge, it must indicate the definiteness of what? Definiteness of the knowledge. Definiteness of the knowledge means nischaya jnanam. Nischaya jnanam means the knowledge attained must be doubt-free, unshakable, ascertained knowledge. Which means the knee indicates the condition required for the attainment of benefit of knowledge. So, the shabd stands for the attainment of the benefit of knowledge. But the knee indicates, knee stands for the condition required for the attainment of knowledge. Benefit of knowledge. So, shraddha stands for the attainment of benefit of knowledge, but the knee stands for the condition required for the attainment or the enjoyment of the benefit of knowledge. If we want to enjoy the benefit of knowledge, it is not enough if we simply have the knowledge. The knowledge you have must be effective. You must be able to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. So attainment of the enjoyment of the benefit of knowledge is possible only if knowledge is doubt-free and ascertained. That condition required for the enjoyment of benefit of knowledge is indicated by this part of the word Upanishad, ni. This ni indicates definiteness of knowledge. Only if the knowledge is doubt-free and ascertained, then you can enjoy the benefit of knowledge. Ignorance will be resolved for good, then moksha can be claimed forever as yours. Okay. Then, if we come to this expression, upa. Upa is a prefix which literally means nearness, near. But upa actually stands for what should be done for the attainment of knowledge. Upa indicates the condition required for the attainment of knowledge, which means what should be done for the attainment of knowledge is indicated by the prefix upa. How knowledge should be for the enjoyment of benefit of knowledge is indicated by the part portion ni. What is the benefit of knowledge is indicated by the part sat. What should be done for the attainment of knowledge? One should approach the shastram. Therefore, one approach the teacher. Guru upasadanam. Shastra sharanagatihi. Approaching the shastram as a means of knowledge. And studying it systematically, regularly being unfolded by the sampradaya with the teacher. So, shravanam and mananam. Of the shastram, studying the shastram, the help of the teacher is indicated by this prefix upa. Once you do the Shravanam and the Mananam of the Shastram with the help of the teacher, which is indicated by this expression Upa, then definitely you can independently be contemplative, which will result in Nischaya Jnanam, which is definite knowledge, doubt-free ascertained knowledge, which is indicated by this prefix, the other expression, Ni. And once you have the definite knowledge, nobody can prevent you from enjoying the benefit of the knowledge in terms of freedom from the hold of ignorance and freedom from samsara. That you can enjoy the freedom as your own self, your own surupa. Is it clear? These three are put together. In fact, I have given it today the complete meaning of the word Upanishad. Is it clear? Just to take the word Upanishad, analyze the meaning, understand the meaning of the word Upanishad, this itself can give you, in fact, moksha. What I should do for the attainment of jnanam is indicated by Upa. If I do what I should do for attainment of jnanam, definitely I will have jnanam, which has been done with the help of the teacher. So you need teacher's help only for Shravanam and Mananam. Once you have, the teacher can leave you with the clear knowledge. But assimilation of clear knowledge, which you gain going through Shravanam and Mananam with the help of the teacher, by contemplating upon it always, which you do independently. So independently dwelling upon what you have clearly understood will bless you with what? Ascertainment. Assimilation. And once you have assimilated doubt-free knowledge and you claim moksha as your swarupam, which is indicated by sat, shat. Is it clear? This is the meaning of the word Upanishad. So what does Brahma Vidya do? Avasadayati. Ajnanam avasadayati. Samsaram avasadayati. Brahma moksham. Ajnana nivritti dvara gamayati prapayati. Karma bandhat, karma bandham shithili karoti. It releases you from bondage of karma. That is Upanishad. And Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Brihat means very big. Brihat means big, which you already know the meaning. In fact, any Upanishad is big. Any Upanishad is big. Why it is big? Because every Upanishad serves as a means of knowledge of the absolute reality, which is the biggest. Is it? Reality, absolute reality is the biggest. There's nothing which is bigger than the reality. So time-wise limitless, object-wise limitless, spatially limitless is the biggest. What is biggest? Anything which is subject to any of these limitations is small. finite. Finite is small, infinite is big. And this time-wise, spatially, object-wise, infinite is the biggest. There's nothing which is bigger than that. And this only thing which alone exists independently by itself. Nothing else. That is why it is implied by the very word existence. Reality is implied by the word existence in terms of its nature of existence, because it exists by itself. Therefore, any Upanishad serves as a means of knowledge of this reality, the biggest. Therefore, every Upanishad is big. But this particular Upanishad is said to be Brihat, because all the Upanishads have mantras, limited number. Mandukya Upanishad is, you know how great Upanishad Mandukyam is. But how many mantras are there? 12. Smallest Upanishad. But I tell you, it is highly profound Upanishad. Mandukyam Ekameva Alam, it is said, thorough study of one Upanishad Mandukyam is enough. Don't need to study anything else. That is what all Mahatmas say. But then only 12 mantras. But this Upanishad, not so many mantras. The number of mantras are more. The text is bigger relatively. Not only that, it is not only one teacher and one student. Usually, any Upanishadic teaching, when it's presented, Upanishadic teaching is always in the form of a dialogue. There is a Guruhu and there is a Sishyaha. There is no mention of the name of the Guru and Sishya, always. But we understand the Guru will be there, Sishya will be there. There will be dialogue between the Guru and Sishya. That is how the whole teaching is presented. That is why Bhagavad Gita also, in Bhagavad Gita also, Vyasacharya presents the teaching in the form of a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. So Upanishadic teaching is always Brahma Vidya, is always the Brahma Vidya, importing of Brahma Vidya is always in the form of a dialogue. The teacher and the student is presented, and present, both are given. And here, not one teacher and one student. Therefore, this Upanishad is text-wise, it is big. Mantra number-wise, it is big. And teaches, it is Guru Sishya, it is big. In every respect, it is a big Upanishad. Therefore, it is Brihat. And generally, the word Aranyam means jungle. Aranyam. And anything pertaining to Aranyam is called Aranyakam. In fact, it's said that people, when they become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, they are naturally mature people, mature individuals. And they want to live in a quiet place where they can pursue their jnanam without any disturbance. Therefore, it is said they always leave, they go to the quiet places in jungles, and they live there, make their own hermitages at the ashrams, small huts. They live in silence, they quietly, and then they pursue this jnanam. The Brahma Vidya is always pursued living in jungles. That's one way of this one, such a understanding is there about attainment of Brahma Vidya. That doesn't mean you should really go to jungle. Okay, Shastram itself makes it very clear, one need not go to jungles. But even if you go to jungle, if you don't study Shastram, then it will not create any jnanam. It will not bless you with jnanam. Therefore, the Upanishads which are studied in quiet places, in jungles, generally, so Aranyaka, people live in Aranyams, Aranye Ushitva Patanti. Living in jungles, they study the Shastram. They pursue their jnanam. This said. And this Upanishad also, because it is studied, they are not that we should go to jungle. Generally, it is said, it is studied in a quiet place. It is called Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Is it clear? Now, let me ask. Now, you can ask me some questions if you want any clarifications here.
Smell it.
Yeah. Shithi layati. No. Sha, palatal sha. She. Thi. Shithili karoti. Or shithi layati. She. She is a palatal sha. She, thi, la, ya, thi. Prabhuji, it is your job. Write and bring it to the Sanskrit class, okay? Not now. She, thi, la, ya, thi. She, thi, la, ya, thi means visarayati. That is, loosens, releases, weakens. That's the meaning. So, shithilayati. Visarayati. So, ignorance caused delusion, results in the entertainment of wrong notions. And wrong notions, the bondage is what now? Wrong notion caused bondage. So wrong notion caused bondage, you can be released from wrong notion caused bondage only by resolving the wrong notions, for which the delusion has to be resolved, or ignorance has to be resolved. Isn't it? That releasing, you are released from bondage of karma. So, karma bandham shithili karoti. Karma bandham shithilayati. So, Brahma jnanam, knowledge of the reality, Brahma vidya, karma bandham shithilayati. Knowledge of Brahman releases you from bondage of karma. So, one more thing. How does Upanishad help us understand the teaching? How does it help us attain the jnanam? Again, three steps are involved. What is that? First thing the Upanishad does is, Upanishad helps you understand what you are not. Thereby, it helps you distinguish yourself being the knower. Different from the known body, mind, sense complex. So first of all, Upanishad helps you distinguish the knower from the known. And helps you understand that you are the knower different from the known. And Upanishad helps you understand that the knower is consciousness, Atma. The known is Anatma, matter. So first Upanishad gives you Atma, Anatma, Vivekaha. First it gives you Atma, Anatma, Vivekaha. It gives you consciousness, matter, viveka. The discriminative understanding of consciousness and matter. Discriminative understanding of Atma and Anatma. Discriminative understanding of the knower and the known. Discriminative understanding of I and this. This is the first step. This is not complete knowledge, okay? It's only first step. And what is the second level? At the second level, Upanishad makes us understand the oneness of the knower consciousness. The knower being one and the only indivisible, undivided, partless, whole, the consciousness. So oneness of consciousness, oneness of the reality, oneness of the knower is established at the next level. So Atma, oneness of the Atma is established at the next level. Understand? So I am the knower, and I the knower am the Atma, and that knower, there are not many knowers are not there. There's only knower. We don't say one knower. There's only knower. That only knower is consciousness implied by the term Atma. That is made clear at the next level. And the third level, because even after the understanding the fact at the second level, still there is duality. What is the duality? Still there is Atma, Anatma. Isn't it? It's Atma, Anatma. Still there's a duality. Because as long as duality is there, there will be plurality also. As long as plurality is there, there will be bondage and limitations. Samsara nivrittihi will not happen. Samsara nivrittihi is possible. Resolution of samsara, freedom from bondage is possible only when all the three levels we understand the fact. When going through all the three levels, what is the third level? Third level, we have to understand Atma, Anatma, Bheda has to be resolved. How do we resolve Atma, Anatma, Bheda? Initially, we understand, we distinguish the Atma from the Anatma. Then we understand the oneness of the Atma. Then we negate the Anatma in Atma. Finally, we have to say, there is no Anatma at all other than Atma. There is no matter at all other than consciousness. We have to negate the Anatma as Mithya. We have to negate the Anatma matter as Mithya. Thereby, we have to say, Anatma, matter, mithya is nothing but manifestation of the Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, mithya, anatma, matter is nothing but satyam atmadi consciousness. You negate the duality there at the third level. Understand? That is very important. First level is very easy. First day go to Vedanta class, a teacher unfold Dridrishya Veka Prakriya is used. Everybody goes back saying, I am not the body. That is easy. That is not enough. But what is needed? That I the knower am Atma, and that knower Atma is one. There is no second Atma. But even in second level, the Anatma is still there. Atma, Anatma is still there. And the third level is what? Anatma, the matter, has to be negated as Mithya. What is only Atma. There is no Anatma matter at all. Absolutely, what is only Atma, which is Brahma. Which means you are negating matter as Mithya, and you say there is no Mithya. Mithya, material world, is nothing but manifestation of Satya Atma, the consciousness, which is Anatma is non-countable. You say Anatma is Atma. There is Atma is not Anatma, but Anatma is nothing but Atma. What is only Atma Brahma. The negation of matter is the most difficult thing. Understand? The third level. Then finally what you have to say? I am that only absolute reality, Atma, in which the seemingly existent Anatma material world enjoys existence, which is empirically real. And I am the absolute reality, Brahma. This is the wisdom, this is the vision we are supposed to have through the study of Upanishads. Okay.
The fourth stage, I am absolute reality, Brahma.
The third.
Oh, that's not fourth, that's part of the third.
Yeah, no. That once you, at three levels, Upanishad makes us understand the whole teaching has to be understood at three levels. You can't straight away understand there's no matter, there's only Brahma. You can't understand that. You do not even know what Atma is. How can you say what is there's only Atma? You first understand, to understand your Atma, understand what Atma is, you have to distinguish first of all what is Atma, Anatma, what Atma is not. And we don't even use the word Atma in the beginning. We say, the Upanishad helps us undistinguish the knower from the known. And it helps you understand that you are the knower, distinct from the known. Thereby it helps you negate the body mentions complex as Anatma, which is as part of the objective world. Then you are able to understand, you help to understand that knower is Atma. And that knower Atma is not, there are not many knowers, many Atmas are not there. What is only one Atma. Then still, even after the second level, you have duality. What duality? Atma, Anatma, consciousness, matter, duality will be there still. Then finally, you have negating matter also as Anatma, matter also as Mithya. And finally, you have to say, the third level you say, what is only the Atma. First you say one Atma is there. When you distinguish the knower from the known, you understand knower is Atma. Then you say Atma, knowers are not many, therefore knower is one, therefore Atma is only one. And finally what you say, there's only Atma. if you say one Atma is there, then you say what is only Atma. Is it clear?
I just wanted to check. So in the final stage, are you negating Mithya reality?
Mithya reality?
Are you negating Mithya?
Yeah. Mithya is negated, yeah. Mithya is negated in... negated as Mithya is negated in reality, it's resolved in reality. Negation of Mithya is actual resolution of Mithya in reality. When I say I negate the wave, negation, which is there's no wave, when I say, it means wave is water, wave is resolved in water. Negation of Mithya world is resolving the world in Satyam. It's only Brahma. Okay. There's no fourth level, okay? Three levels. The teaching is presented at three levels systematically so that there won't be any ambiguity, there won't be any confusion. There will be clear knowledge. See, duality has to be resolved. What is only non-dual reality. Advaitam has to be established. So, in the very beginning, even though Upanishad serves as a means of knowledge of the truth, ultimately, Upanishad actually is a pramanam for Advaita Jnanam. What is only the reality. That is the final vision we have to arrive at. And for which Upanishad cannot directly take you to that. The teaching begins like this. What does Upanishad do at the first level? What does it do at second level? What does it do at the third level? Thereby it leaves you with a clear, doubt-free vision of what is only Brahma. We'll continue again next class. Is it clear? Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.